I can't describe enough how crucial partnerships have been in the growth of Get Better. You know, we are a 22-person agency now that has grown year on year in terms of revenue, clients, and headcount. And partnerships is at the core of all of it. So get to events, introduce yourself to people, find common ground, be niched, because that helps with partnerships. The incremental impact of being in with as many people as you possibly can be will, I promise you, serve you right.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. And in each episode, we release a new one on Wednesdays. I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This five-episode series has been all about getting you ready for peak. So far, we've covered AI and marketing with Lucy Bloomfield, the huge opportunity that is podcast advertising with Anna, another big advertising opportunity session, including offline and TV with Carolina from Prasis, tracking, huge topic, and probably the fastest to implement with Wes from Leaf. And we're wrapping up with email marketing, both because I know some of you are frantically dealing with Yotpo's exit from email marketing, but also because there's lots of potential still to be squeezed from your email marketing activity. So in this episode, prepare to hear some fascinating insights and a really clear guide to what actually went on with the Yotpo email situation, which is just fascinating whether you're involved or not. And then we'll be picking our guest Rich's brains about the last few things you should be doing to make a massive difference to your email marketing as you go into peak. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because Rich's insider tips answers are really good as well. So you don't want to miss those, and you'll get me revealing what our next topic's all about. So stay tuned to the end. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, one in four can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTokads. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
In this episode, I'm chatting with email marketing expert Rich Evans. Rich is the founder and reluctant managing director at Get Better, an agency focused on building personalized email marketing that helps their clients reach their full growth potential. Clients including Absolute Collagen, Maya Master, and Pot Candles. Hello, Rich.
Hello, Chloe. Thank you for having me.
Very cool to have you on the show. And I don't think I've ever even asked you this in real life before. So how did you end up in the world of e-commerce and email marketing?
Well, I don't think I've ever been associated with the word cool. So that's good. Not for a long time anyway. I had a previous agency. So I'm a second time agency founder. The first agency started as all agencies do. full service, we'll do anything. Then ended up kind of discovering community management, which at the time was very new because businesses were trying to work out social media, how to use it. Grew very quickly. One big pub chain in particular, like, really grew us with just constant demands for work. But it fundamentally made me very, very poorly. So physically and mentally got quite unwell. Exited from there and just became a hermit or freelancer, as other people call it. I'm kind of focused on what I was good at. So worked on some really cool things to do with community management and tone of voice. And so worked on the rebrand of Yo Sushi to Yo in terms of how to communicate that, how to talk to their customers, worked with some other great food and beverage brands, and then COVID hit. And so all of my like wider full service marketeer skills were needed because everyone that I've been working for to drive bums on seats suddenly had no seats available to drive them to, but a hell of a lot of stock piling up, and whether it was sushi or beer or pies or whatever it was. So got involved in building some quick, dirty e-com presences. At this point, discovered Klaviyo. So we first discovery, I guess, of where I now mainly operate was early 2021. I just thought it would be a COVID thing and then I would revert back to what I knew, but Klaviyo suddenly and e-commerce became what I knew, and those presences that we built purely for the to get through lockdowns remained and still remain to this day. And yeah, I still don't really understand how I got back into agency ownership, because I fundamentally never wanted to employ people again. But here we are now, and Get Better exists as an agency purely to service Klaviyo.
Very cool. I have to say, having had an agency myself, I totally get why you were like, how did I end up with another one? How did this happen? But I think what's super clear is that you learned a lot the first time, and this one is super focused on doing one thing excellently, which is a lot easier.
I think so as well. And I think my approach to people, like, you know, there are fundamentally two things that an agency needs to look after, which is the people and the clients. And generally speaking, everything else will look after itself. Now, I think a lot of agencies still probably tier those things wrong. And really the people, because clients will come and go, but people ideally don't, is the key one. So yeah, I definitely think I've learned a lot. And this rotation is definitely a lot different to the last one.
Whilst I would love to go off and talk about that, it's not what the audience have tuned into. Chloe and Rich bemoaning agency culture and marketing practices is not what anyone's tuned into. So, although I'm sure the two of us would find it very therapeutic and fascinating, we're here to talk about the Yotpo situation, which blew up a little while ago. I'm sure many of our audience have no idea what it is. So what is the Yotpo email marketing situation, Rich?
Well, let's go back. So Yotpo, people will recognize Yotpo as I did when I came into e-commerce. I believe there was a history before that, and there may have been some PR recoveries from, but I knew Yotpo as a reviews and loyalty platform that had acquired an SMS platform, SMS Bump, and so we're in the SMS space, but really understood Yotpo as a reviews and loyalty platform. As Klaviyo continued to build and dominate, and much quicker and much more powerfully and strategically than other email platforms that they were leaving in their wake, Yotpo, a couple of years ago, rounded up some, you know, respected agency partners and stuff and said, right, we're going to have a go at email. And I think, look, I truly love Klaviyo because I've built a business around it. But I'm also a little bit like, Klaviyo has such a dominance in this market that what would be really good for this market would be a pretender to the throne, you know, a really good alternative, because I'm kind of stuck saying, well, it's Klaviyo or nothing. And Klaviyo's pricing has irked people. And, you know, so when Yotpo sort of put this out there, I was listening, and then went to some really good partner sessions and sort of watched some screen grabs and stuff, and was like, yeah, you know what, this will have a place. And the sweet spot for me was, I've got a lot of clients that do everything else on Yotpo and then just do email on Klaviyo and don't like paying the money that Klaviyo charges them. And so that was the sweet spot. So I did decide to, where Yotpo were going to pitch these clients anyway. And so for me, it was either, well, I go with them, because the commercial side of it was a no-brainer for these clients, which we'll come back to. So did perform some migrations over to Yotpo. And so very briefly, I was not someone that I announced myself as a solely a Klaviyo agency. I was 98% a Klaviyo agency. With Yotpo, it became really abundantly aware that they were building as they went along. So I think that's the first thing, is they launched in too quickly. But we were on board. And the thing that was there then and remained all the way through and is still there now is some of the people at Yotpo were just fantastic. Like, so passionate, so enthused. And so you kind of wanted them to do well. So we would deliver our feedback. We would help highlight. We were finding a lot of the bugs and then they would be fixing them and things. But there was a sort of phased plan B where there were some other brands that we were going to look over and we were going to start handling like migrations that they would introduce us to and we'd do the building. But we paused on that because it was obvious that cracks were starting to show. I think commercially, that's what they led with. You know, I've got some lovely Nike Air Force Ones. There's a lot of people with some lovely suitcases. There were some crazy bounties, like, you know, the senior leadership team. I've not really had too much to do with at Yotpo, but I don't necessarily align with the way that they approach social media and the way that they go about things. So when I talk about the people, I mean the people in there doing the groundwork and things. But they were pushing for these like enterprise level brands before they were really functional. The functionality was there to service some like small SMEs. And then the cracks started to appear in the reviews and loyalty, and things that we've been very used to being fixed and acted quite quickly were taking longer. And so all of their resource, I think, was pulled at email. So I actually think a really good decision to pull the plug and go, you know what, we got this wrong. But obviously they were still migrating people up to like a week before they pulled the plug. So there was a lot of brands that were then stuck in this, you know, look, it was end of July, start of August. So for me, like just as I'm starting to put my feet up and go, right, summer's here, everyone's gone on holiday, boom, here you go, here's a situation to handle. So what that did is it kind of lit a little bit of a fire. LinkedIn, as it tends to in these instances, became a cesspit for like vultures sort of circling round and like, we're going to capitalize on this misfortune and stuff, which was like the first wave. The second wave then was a bit more measured and sort of like, well, here's what you can actually do, which is where we connected because I wrote an article. I actually had a call like, and with a few other brands and stuff, I just did like a bit of an open clinic, and it was a transcript from that call where people kind of put what their issues were and I gave what the best answers were that created the LinkedIn post that then got a little bit of traction. The reality is though, Chloe, I think the noise was a lot bigger than the issue itself.
Oh, let's face it, our industry is very good at creating an awful lot of noise about something really not that important. And I think we really succeeded with the Yotpo situation because the percentage of brands affected, would you say there was 1,000 brands affected, maybe 2,000 brands or less as a rough gun?
I don't know exactly. The adoption of email, the bigger opportunity was SMS. And SMS is, you know, what were happening was like a tentative Klaviyo on this end. All of the ones that you would expect were like, well, SMS makes us good money. And so they were sort of clamoring for that business and things. Email though, which is arguably much more important. There is a lot of people that just do email. There's not a lot of people that just do SMS. And so those email clients were probably less looked after and nurtured than the SMS clients because the SMS clients were bigger business. So that's where the sort of, I think the worst affected people were. Also, an SMS migration, not a difficult thing. You can do a free SMS migration because there's a little bit of compliance and then some short codes and then it's just 145 characters.
Yeah.
Whereas an email migration, much, much bigger. Warming, design, and you know, so I think the impact was minimal, but for those that had migrated email over, quite great. And they were probably the ones that were struggling and weren't getting as much help and offers of support as others. But that's my Yotpo in a nutshell.
Got you. So for those who are, or potentially now were, on Yotpo for email, they have until the end of the year to move, don't they? And it's...
Yeah.
But they'll have been contacted by plenty of people to help them with that, I would imagine.
And so like, I think I can't remember exactly when it was, but let's say sort of 1st of August to 31st of December is quite a big span of time. You know, there's 5 months in there. The problem is one of those months is November. And there's this thing that you might have covered before on your podcast called Black Friday.
Yes.
Which is a big part of a lot of people's years. And I think if you're doing Black Friday properly, it really starts in sort of September when you start like building and warming and extending your list and stuff ready for that peak. And so really the timeline wasn't the 31st of December at all. No one wants me migrating in December if you're going to do it before Black Friday. So it was, you need to go and you need to go now. And so, yeah, that was a bigger concern, I think, was the, you know, December fine. You know, all of the main platforms were saying like, oh, you know, we'll KDE offered a price match, which was an interesting sort of take. With Attentive and Omnisend, there'd been a commercial arrangement for the book of business. So I think Omnisend was Yotpo's chosen partner for email and Attentive for SMS. And so, yeah, there was a real clamber and everyone sort of grabbing it and things. Now, I think most people have got a plan, or I hope they've got a plan, at least in action.
I mean, I totally get from Yotpo's perspective, from a SaaS company's perspective, yep, we're going to tie it up by the end of the year. We start 2026 fresh, lovely jubbly. But God, the e-commerce marketer in me is going, could you not have said 31st of January? Just to give people a choice. I mean, I'm sure there'd be some who would still have moved immediately, but just to have, we'll do our migration in January, we'll plan it properly, we'll make the diligent decision of where we're going and all the rest of it. I do think that date was a bit harsh.
Yeah, but I suppose you could argue, like, the thing is, for me though, it forced people's hands because the platform was not up to standard. And, you know, it was only really just annualizing in terms of it being live. And so for a lot of people, it was going to be their first Black Friday on the platform. And I think they've probably done those people a favor because there were elements, and look, it's a contentious issue, but, and I know we're international here, but in the UK, emailing people that have bought from you and not necessarily giving you explicit consent when it comes around to Black Friday and reasonable intent will be on people's radars. Yotpo wouldn't let you email those people. Like, fundamentally, you were just shut out. And we've been working on them to get it to be a toggle option so that you could toggle off. If you understood the warnings, a little bit like Shopify will let you pre-tickets box, but it will tell you that you shouldn't do it. You're like, are you sure you want to do that? You shouldn't really, but we're still going to let you do it anyway. So I think fundamentally, actually, by forcing people's hands, they have probably enabled them to have a better Black Friday from a performance point of view, if not a slightly poorer summer and September from a mental capacity point of view.
Yeah, a slightly frazzled email and integrations team. But
yeah,
all for the best. And actually, you know, getting through peak and then going, we don't have to move email provider in 2026 is quite a nice feeling to have. So Rich, let's migrate a little bit ourselves away from the Yotpo situation. People are hearing this episode on, or as early as they can hear, it's the 15th of October. So we've still got a good month until Black Friday. There's still time to do a fair few things. He should have, guys, if you could see this, the video of this, the face Rich just gave me there. Is there anything which you would be, and if you bumped into someone at an event at the moment, they're going, Rich, my email's in a state. What do I 100% need to get done ASAP to improve my performance? What would you be saying? What are the bare bones? I'm going to stop this question in a minute, but what would be the bare bones of what someone needs to have made sure they've got sorted ready for the peak that is very, very imminent now?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, if someone on October the 15th is thinking, I've got a month until Black Friday, you haven't. That's like Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve thinking, I haven't done my Christmas shopping yet. It's okay, I'll get it done tomorrow. Like, it will not end in, you may well end up with gifts for everyone, but it won't be as good and well thought out as it could have been. So I think I would be, at this point with it being so close, really drill down and focus. What tends to happen in a lot of accounts that we audit is there is just a huge amount of flows, and it's almost like a bit of analysis paralysis. I don't even know where to start with looking at these flows. So the first thing I would do today is I would go to an incognito browser and I would open up my website and I would assess the pop-up situation that you may or may not have. I would sign up to it. I would then wait patiently for the email. When it arrives, I would then click the link in that email, hope that it applies the code that you've probably given me, place the order to come, pay for it, do all the right things so it, like, you don't cheat the system, and then look at what happens then over the course of the next 2 weeks, because that is really what Black Friday is all about. It is about people trying to bring people to their website. Now, the first thing I would question then on the pop-up is, have you asked anything other than for the email address? And, like, I was at an event the other day and asked some thoughts on Black Friday, and like one thought and one thought only, and that would be get intent, get zero party data, because there's so, the trend will be that you will recruit all of these customers on Black Friday, and then you will either never see them again, or best case scenario, you'll see them again the same time next year, but you've probably had to pay to acquire them again. So what I would want to do is I would want to understand why you're here and what it is that makes you tick. So then your post-purchase experience can be way more targeted towards you. A lot of people use Black Friday to gift. And so there's no point in then telling Chloe that the, you know, smoking jacket that she's bought in the Black Friday sale, she should come back and buy the matching trousers or the cane or the hat, because you're probably not buying that smoking jacket for yourself, and it may be for the man in your life or somebody else. So, but if I just ask you that question, are you shopping for you or for someone else? I can then tailor and target that so that I don't bombard you with stuff that you're just going to unsubscribe from. So I think know your customer in this peak period is even more important than it is in the rest of the year.
I love both of those pieces, both the, like, the mystery shop yourself, the quickest way to find a problem. Mystery shop yourself and see what it actually looks on the customer end rather than what it looks like in the back end. So I love that as an idea. And then, yes, I mean, I think I'd look quite good in a smoking jacket, but I probably am not going to buy one. So great example. But it is one of those issues that we don't really calculate. You can damage the ROI, the profitability of your Black Friday campaign and its impact on your whole business by assuming everyone who buys is going to buy again. And that simple, are you gifting or are you buying for yourself, enables you to make some very clever decisions from December, January, February, March, etc., on what data gets fed into your ad accounts and who you're bothering to advertise to again, as well as what you're doing with your email marketing. So that's a huge kind of future profitability impact just with one small question for a little bit of first party data.
And, you know, you would treat the distinguished gentleman that's buying for himself differently over the course of the next 12 months to how you would approach his wife who's buying something for him. The wife you wouldn't bombard, but you would make sure when Valentine's Day comes around, when Father's Day comes around and stuff, you're tactfully trying to put them into a segment where it's like, well, if you gifted then, you might want to gift again now. Whereas with the chap and sal, then it would be the recommendations and, like, refer a friend and those type things. So I often say to brands, like, you know, if you've got bricks and mortar, or you're doing a pop-up or a trade show, what's the one question that you ask someone to decide how you then present your brand and, like, the next step of customer help to them? That's the question to ask at the pop-up. Don't turn it into a quiz. Have a quiz, shout out Octane AI, but don't turn your pop-up into a quiz, because you'll just get less submissions. Get the email. Second step, now tell me a little bit about yourself so that I can make sure that I send you the right sort of content. Because if they don't at that point, at least you got the email.
Okay, now the question that is being screamed at the phone or the speaker by at least one person listening to this, if not several more, is, hold on, first step email, second step SMS. Do I then ask the question in the third step, or do I ask the question before I ask for the SMS?
It depends, really.
It depends.
Yeah, but it does, brand by brand. So I've audited a brand today. They do not do much SMS at all because it's expensive, but they still ask for everyone's SMS as the second step, as a primary sort of, like, the very second thing you say to someone is, can I have your SMS, please? I'm never going to text you, but I want it anyway. Now, other brands, I see them doing more. There's more attributed revenue, which I'm just going to carry out, is bullshit. Can I swear?
Well, not really, but, you know, we'll deal with it later.
Me?
We'll bleep you.
Yeah, just bleep me with, like, a sheep bar. So, yeah, I'm not claiming that attributed revenue is the be and end all, but they have more attributed revenue from SMS and more conversions than perhaps they do from email. So for them, yes, I would say SMS is more valuable at that second step. There is no issue with having a three-step silent pop-up form, and I would just order it of importance to you. I think there are some instances where actually asking that very first question is probably more important than the email itself, because it might then determine, very rarely, but I would probably, if you had gone to my head, which order should you do it in, it would be email, question, SMS.
Nice. Thank you for that, Rich, because I know some people were shouting that at the speaker. Okay, Rich.
Just picture you're in a bar, and, you know, you wouldn't just go straight in and go, can I have your number? You would go, so what's your name? You know, and then you would ask a few questions and then you'd go for the number. The number is, I think, is a more personal thing anyway. So getting to know your client a little bit more before you do that is no bad thing.
Definitely. Okay, Rich, it's been great picking your brains about email marketing for peak and the whole Yotpo situation, storm in a teacup that it may be. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on Rich's insider tips on getting ready for peak season and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Are you ready to try TikTok ads? Success on TikTok comes from embracing all the opportunities the platform's ecosystem provides. Organic brand posts, live streaming, affiliates and creators, TikTok shop, and of course, the advertising platform. So, are you ready to try TikTok ads? Now is the perfect time to get your TikTok ads up and running. Available in more than 150 markets in 75 languages, no video app is on more mobile devices worldwide. And get this, of TikTok's millions of users, 1 in 4 can't be found on any other platform. Don't start with TikTok ads without checking the latest new advertiser deal. Find it at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads. TikTokAds. All one word. I'd love to hear how you get on.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Okay, Rich, so far we've gone deep into email marketing and the Yotpo exit. Now you need to wow, or you don't need to, but you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of getting ready for peak, which kind of is the whole of e-commerce and our world. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with that, which of course includes everything we've already been talking about. Rich, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I mean, I'm gonna take a slant. I like this part that you do each time. And so I think I would be repeating the pop-up, you know, if you first step into email marketing. I'm actually going to do it from the viewpoint that we talked about earlier of having built an agency and for the second time, and it's partnerships. Like, I can't describe enough how crucial partnerships have been in the growth of Get Better. You know, we are a 22 person agency now that has grown year on year in terms of revenue, clients and headcount, and partnerships is at the core of all of it. So get to events, introduce yourself to people, find common ground, be niched because that helps with partnerships. You know, everyone's happy to send me clients for Klaviyo because they know I'm not going to go and try and steal any other parts of their business away. But yeah, that would be the main thing. And don't measure it like this partner's giving me this. The incremental impact of being in with as many people as you possibly can be will, I promise you, serve you right.
Software or service partnerships?
All of the above. I mean, service partnerships for me are my favorites. I think the volumes in terms of service partnerships will be less, but the quality will be much better because it tends to be you're being introduced to clients that they've got a long lasting relationship with. Tech partners, a little bit more difficult to come by. They will want to default to 10% of kickbacks and we want all of your clients. But I do find like the more you put in with these tech partners, like we get a lot back from Klaviyo now. It wasn't always like that. We've put a lot in, but now we've built stock and clout with them. And we've got a reputation of being a really safe pair of hands to push a churn risk client to or someone that needs something very specific because we're quite a technical agency. So yeah, I'd start with service partners and then scale up to tech partners when you've got the clout that kind of gets their attention.
And of course, clout, maybe not quite the right word for how I'm going to put it, but partnerships are about building a relationship. So it doesn't all happen on day one. You know, you get what you put out of it. So
and you just make it really easy. Every partnerships call, discovery call is the same. So what's your ICP? Make it as easy as possible. Anyone that sells stuff online and is using or willing to look at using Klaviyo. Okay, how should I introduce them? Well, we do paid audits. We do a lot of them. I'll give you a 50% off code specifically for your agency for your first two that you send me over. So it's a value add. So it feels like they're getting something extra. and just have that, like, just make it really easy. Because then partners that have probably done 3 or 4 of those calls that week and it's all a bit samey, are like, okay, well, actually, I've got someone that might go for that today, sort of thing. And then really look after them. Because I dare say that, especially on the service point of view, they're going to go and go, oh, how did you get on with Rich? And you want that to be a really, really great experience. So yeah, our partnership introductions, we handle in a very different way to our inbound website. So not to deter anyone from coming via the website, of course, but you know, we do really roll out the red carpet when it comes to a partnership intro.
Cool. Anyone wondering what ICP is? That's Ideal Customer Profile. Very much a software service side of things. So I'm sure a lot of the retailers are going, what is an ICP? Ideal customer. Simple as that. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
So I'll revert back to CRM management for this question and things, because I appreciate that's where a lot of retailers will want me to be answering. I think A-B testing, but strategic A-B testing. So ideally, you're not writing and sending the campaign on the day it's going out and then thinking just before you send it, oh, I need to test. I'll test either 6 or 8 o'clock. What you're really doing is you're planning out content and then you're deciding if between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. is the test that you want to run. You do that continuously for a period of weeks and measure all of the results together. So 6 to 8 on a Wednesday might work different between 6 to 8 on a Sunday. So run one test for a period of time where you think, right, that is now going to give me the data that is going to be, and then take that forward and then go and test the next thing. So yeah, I think A-B testing strategically, we see a lot of accounts where there's been an A-B test running for 742 days and it's significantly weighted in one favor of the other and no one's ever picked a winner. So yeah, not for the sake of A-B testing, but really do focus on something and then make that the theme of your month, that you're going to test that one thing and then next month is going to be something different.
I really like that. It's like, it's not we need to do more email. It's not we need to do some A-B testing. It's we have a problem that could be solved by email or could be solved by A-B testing. So I love that example. Thank you, Rich. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
In terms of a book, I want to recommend, because it was a game changer for me. So I have a lot of ADHD traits and I've got a big old past with mental health and something I'm really passionate about now. And so if anyone's kind of feeling the same and not quite sure why they don't make the right decisions and stuff, The Chimp Paradox is an amazing read. And so I like to recommend that at any opportunity that I have. So I really recommend getting that and understanding how you wire it up. From a on-topic sort of Klaviyo world, the Klaviyo certifications, I think you can get certifications anywhere. You know, you can, every sort of tech platform has them. I really do. And, you know, we push every member of the team through them. Even if they've been working on Klaviyo for years, we want to send them through the academy and to get the certifications, because they really do. Sometimes they will affirm things that you already knew. But if you do them and you just take half a dozen things that you were like, well, I actually didn't know that, then I think they're well worth doing. So yeah, and they're free. So I would ideally point people towards them.
I always find it fascinating when people recommend a tech company's knowledge base, as it were, and training courses, having run a Google Ads agency riddled with errors and out-of-date information. It's always great to hear a solid recommendation for one that is worth, very much worth going through.
I genuinely, yeah, the updates that they do to them, I think if you had to pick one, it'd be the deliverability one, because that for me is the area that most people are least knowledgeable about. But, you know, the idea of spending so much time crafting the perfect email with the perfect offer and then it not landing in the inbox just blows my mind. And so if there's one piece of self-improvement that you would do, it'd be that deliverability Klaviyo certification. They're not good. They're not perfect at everything. They would have you believe that they are, but the knowledge resource and the banks and stuff is really, really good.
Nice. Top recommendation there, everyone. Finally, crystal ball time. Dare I ask you, what is coming up in the next 6 to 12 months we should be getting ready for?
I think I'll go controversial first of all, the backlash of AI. And I think we already see it a little bit. Like, I use it daily, but I use it as leverage to speed up tasks that I'm still owning. I think we're seeing a lot. I pulled a client up just yesterday because I've got a really good CRM manager, but fairly junior, but more than capable of handling this client. And there's a lot of really long emails coming through with suggestions of things that are quite far-fetched, it's fair to say. And one of them was recommending, should we perhaps look at Yotpo email and SMS? And it was so obviously generated by an AI prompt. And that is the problem. Like, I'll quote AI, in the ever-evolving world of e-commerce, the information on the internet is only as good as it is today. And so I think there will be a backlash, and people that are relying on it will be found out, and those leveraging and using it will continue to rise. I think WhatsApp, but not as people would have you believe, it is not going to be the next broadcast marketing tool. It's going to be too expensive, and people don't want to have their WhatsApps, especially in the UK, infiltrated by brands and marketing messages. So that just won't be what it's used for. But I think conversational commerce, so post-purchase questioning, quizzing, customer service, and the rise of service agents will absolutely, in 6 to 12 months' time, be something that is pretty regular for us as users, because the best brands are going to be adopting it pretty soon.
Yeah, WhatsApp's a fascinating one. At the moment, it feels like it's poised for something big. But like you say, as long as people actually understand how to use it effectively, which will be the challenge.
It's a race. So WhatsApp fundamentally is just a new opportunity in your Meta account to push advertising into. But of course, it's conversational. And so I think the when to trigger a conversation and to what then, and to make sure it is a conversation, because the way it will work for anyone that is wondering is with SMS and carrier cost, you spend credits, of course. With WhatsApp, it's going to be more you spend a credit, but then that gets you into a conversation for a 12 or 24 hour period. And you can go and converse back and forth with as many messages and characters as you want to during that period. But it is quite expensive for that first contact. So I think that's why it's going to be more conversational commerce and stuff that is where people truly feel the benefits of it. There'll probably be an initial broadcast plague where everyone will get fed up with it, and WhatsApp will quickly introduce a filter that you can move spam to and stuff. But then the real winners will be those that are using it for conversational type stuff.
Nice. Rich, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So please let the listeners know how they can get in contact with you and your team at Get Better.
Get Better is simple, getbetter.co.uk. There is an inquiry form on the website that if you mention Chloe, I promise to roll out the same red carpet as we would for partners. I realize I shot myself in the foot there. LinkedIn, and you can find me, Rich Evans, for a variety of topics, as you've experienced today, from mental health to occasional CRM marketing. But yeah, they're the two places to find me.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Rich, for being on the podcast. It's been a real treat to get to catch up with you. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Chloe. It's been a treat.
I am somewhat in awe of how Rich managed to explain so much so concisely and so clearly. Hats off to the man. So if you are getting ready for Black Friday, obviously you're getting ready for Black Friday. I guess if you're one of the people affected by the Yotpo situation, you know what you're doing, you know what you need to do. The rest of you have now fully understand it. And I thought those two key email marketing tips from Rich were really solid there. First off, go and mystery shop yourself. Open up the incognito tab, see what your pop-up game's looking like, sign up with a new email address and see what happens. Secondly, to then make sure that you are getting that zero party data, that input from the customer on what it is they're choosing, why they're buying from you. Is it gift? Is it self-purchase? And then use that data to improve all your marketing for the next 6-12 months as you go through those cycles. Two super straightforward things to do that will make a positive difference for your business. Now, you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the correct page of the site. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. All five of our episodes in our Getting Ready for Peak Season 2025 is now live. Think of it as your get me up to date on all of this. The last few things I need to know before we hit it. Masterclass. So go on, have a listen to them all. Either scroll up your podcast feed to find them or use the short link keepopt.com/peak to find them all. Our next masterclass topic is TikTok and TikTok Shop. Yes, we are going back into TikTok land. You can catch our TikTok thread so far at keepopt.com/TikTok. And then make sure you tune in next Wednesday to catch the start of our new dive into it all. Make sure you're subscribed to us or following us on your favourite podcast player so you don't miss any of that. And if you know someone who's particularly interested in nailing TikTok, then please do let them know we're covering it, as this show exists to help you and them improve your marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Check out the latest TikTok ads, new advertiser deals. Find them at keepopt.com/TikTok ads. That's keepopt.com/TikTok ads.
The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.